Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's a joy to be here today with you. And an honor and a privilege, all of that all together, because we get to talk about things that inspire your positive growth and change, and mine as well, especially. So thank you so much for being here. I also want to mention, if you love listening to these shows, you can also watch some of my wonderful interviews on Gaia TV with some of your favorite guests here. And you do that by going to the website inspirationsongaia.com. And if you go there, you'll see 200 plus shows that I have done. My most recent ones are amazing. I have Dr. Joe Dispenza on there that you can just search Dr. Joe and you can watch that one for it's groundbreaking. Anita Morjani is on there. Lots of amazing people. So check that out. And so that's inspirationsongaia.com. Now, we've talked a lot about relationships on the show, and usually what we talk about is how to get along in a relationship. And the funny thing is, it's not usually about how to get along when you're single. And even if I do interview people that are relationship experts, they talk about, if you're single, how to get into a relationship. Well, I actually love this topic today. Two relationship experts, and they're talking about, are you sure you even want a relationship? It's a great, fresh approach on intimacy, on really what it means to be involved with someone. I mean, maybe you are eternally single for a reason. Maybe you have great relationships that last a short amount of time, and that's absolutely okay. Do you want to create a relationship without the trauma and drama that comes with relationships? They're not easy. They're not easy. They require a lot of work. And do you have time for that kind of work? Or do you really just want to have small relationships that strung together make a great life? It's up to you, really. Or maybe you're in a relationship and you want to remain in the relationship, however you've both decided to consciously uncouple. You want to remain friends. You have children. You want it to go well. And you want to just consciously uncouple. Joining me is Simone Milassas, and she is an international speaker, a wonderful facilitator of Access Consciousness, and also Brandon Watt, who we're going to get on in a minute. He is the CFO of Access Consciousness Australia, also an international speaker. So welcome, first of all, Simone. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Lisa. Thank you for having me here. Hey, I have news. I actually have Brendan right next to me. I don't know why, but his phone is not ringing.
Well, that works.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, how are you? That's
fantastic. Share a phone.
Well, that works. That absolutely works. So I love this. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we're always talking about how to stay in a relationship or how to have a long-term marriage. And with 50 to 70% divorce rate, arguably, in this state, there's many that are not in a relationship, and there may be between, but are you sure you even want one? What made you guys write this particular book?
I know, it always makes us laugh when we talk about it.
It's great.
The reason we actually originally wrote it was because we had a great relationship, and so many people asked us, you know, how we were creating it and what, you know, what tools we were using and what we were choosing. So we did a class based on that, and then we ended up, you know, people loved it. So we went, okay, let's write a book. So the book is very much about, if you want to create a great relationship, there's some amazing tools in there. And I'm going to say tools that you're going to find quite confronting that you might not actually want to use, but they work.
Well, we also, a lot of the tools in the book, we also didn't want to use at the start. I mean, when we started our relationship, we'd come into like these roadblocks in the relationship, and we'd start going, okay, what tool do we use? And we'd get one of these tools and go, I don't want to use that. That's way too uncomfortable. But we knew that if we used them, things would change. So we started using these tools and our relationship started changing.
Okay, so let's back it up for a sec. You're both teachers and facilitators of Access Consciousness. And that's kind of the ground. We need to lay that foundation here. What is Access and how does it work in life? Simone, I'll ask you.
So Access Consciousness is basically like a set of tools and processes that can change any area of your life that you think is not working for you. Because most of the time we think we have a problem with something, you know, relationships, bodies, sex, business, etc. But it's we usually don't have a problem. It's something that we're refusing to have a look at. And I can give you an example of a tool that I use that I think everyone, you know, seems amused by. Is there was we have a house right across the road from the beach in Australia. Mm. And one day I was annoyed at Brendan, which so many people get annoyed at their partner.
Yes.
I don't even remember what for. And I went across the road to the beach and I was walking along the beach and Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, called me and he's like, what's up? And I was like, you know, blah, blah, blah about Brendan. And he said, can I tell you what you need to do? And I was like, sure. And I knew it was going to be something that I didn't want to do. And he said, you need to go home and you need to make everything about Brendan. Mm. I was like, what do you mean make it about him? I want him to make it about me.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Every single one of these tools has worked, so what if I just tried this one and gave this one a shot? So I walked home, walked in the house, and I started talking to him and making everything about him and being really grateful for him. And I'm not kidding, within 10 minutes, he was like, can I get you a drink? What would you like me to cook you for dinner tonight? And I was like, oh, my God, this stuff works. It's like these
let's take it to the next level because I read your book and I love this. You know, in the book, you describe the fact that you were the breadwinner in the relationship because you wanted to support Brendan in achieving his dreams. And for a while, the financial burden was on you. Yes?
Yes.
Am I tracking?
Yes.
Okay. So then at a certain point in the relationship, and this is all, you know, for all of my friends out there who have been the primary breadwinner in a relationship, male or female, and the resentment starts to build for the person that you're supporting, whether it be love or their dreams or they just have fallen through hardships or whatever, a certain amount of resentment starts to grow. What did you do? And was that the reason that you were upset at the point in the relationship?
No. The reason I was upset, I can't even remember. It would have been so minuscule, really. I don't even remember that piece. But I will say with the financial stuff, I never felt like it was a burden, but the one thing I did do, and I recommend this to so many people, like as you say, the one who's the breadwinner, is ask for help. Because Brendan, if anyone knows him, he's very, very good at spending money.
Extremely good.
There's always one partner in the relationship that is the spender, and there's one that's the saver. That's it's weird how we attract each other.
I think we're both really good at spending, but he wasn't really aware of the finances. And so what I did was I sat down one day and I said, hey, can I show you my finances? Can I show you my bank accounts? Can I show you what's coming in and what's going out? So that he had the awareness of it as well. And then I asked him for help. And that's a tool as well, because if you look at the energy of help, it's like help is a form of superiority. So if I'm sort of saying, hey, Brendan, can I get some help here? I'm actually putting him in a position that he can, you know, he can support me. He can contribute to me. So when he got the information, he went, oh, okay. So let's look at this and what can we create? And that was another level of when we started to create together, because he became more aware of the finances.
Interesting.
So I don't think it's about getting angry or frustrated. It's asking questions. And that is so much what Access Consciousness is about, is asking questions.
It is. It's asking questions that opens up tons of possibilities. Now, in that case, though, the person who tends to be the breadwinner usually has a hard time asking for help because it means vulnerability. You're trying to be the hero. You're trying to carry those on your coattail or your cape. And asking for help really means being vulnerable. Was that hard for you?
Yeah. I think for Simone, well, I don't think it was hard for you, was it?
No. I mean, I'm a girl too. I can flirt with him.
Mm-hmm.
and say, you know, I need help. No, because it wasn't, it's not a less than. So it's an energy of where you actually are asking for contribution. And you know what, Lisa, I really think that's one thing that people need to get with every aspect of life and living is if you're willing to receive contribution, so many things can change. You don't have to do anything on your own. There is so much out there that can contribute to you and people don't ask for that. So if you start asking for contribution and start receiving it, then different possibilities show up beyond what you can imagine. Because if you're going to work, you know, control it and work it all out on your own, then you will not create more. So no, I wasn't coming from that place of, you know, being less than or anything. I just knew that I needed to ask for help, and I knew that Brendan could contribute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, beautiful. That's a wonderful way of doing it. So let's address then the different types of relationships. We've got being single, we've got conscious uncoupling, we've got long-term relationships, and we've got short-term relationships, right? That's kind of where their relationship categories fall, kind of, right? Okay. Being single. Talk to me about the dating scene and how to apply the concepts in Relationships Done Different, which is the book. How do you apply those concepts to being single?
Well, I think for a lot of us being single, we look at it, a lot of people that I've talked to about it, they look at it as a wrongness. Like something's missing in my life. So when we come from something's missing in my life, then we've already decided we have a lack of relationship. So we go, okay, now I need a relationship. And when we do, I need a relationship, and we look for one from that place, then when we find one, if someone can't fill in that need, that's when the resentment starts. So it's look at it and go, and this was one of the reasons we named that book that, Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? Because A, it was funny. And B, it puts people into a question of, well, do I actually want one? And if I do, okay, what would I like one for? So the single scene is, okay, enjoy being single if that's what you like. And for most people, if you are single, then you desire to be single. If you're in a relationship, you desire to be in a relationship. But my advice for somebody who's looking for a relationship when they're single is, go, okay, what would I like in this relationship? Not how do I get to the first one I can find, but what do I desire in the person that I'd like to have a relationship with? And then when you meet somebody, okay, can this person fulfill that?
Interesting. And now, what types of things did you have on your list, or can you share with what you hear other people wanting in a relationship? Give us an example of that.
Well, for me, on my list, I mean, my previous relationship was not much fun. I mean, it was abusive. I was with this unkind person. So for me, pretty much my prerequisite to my next relationship was somebody who was actually kind to me, somebody who I could create with and actually have some fun with. So I didn't have this long list of things. And what I see a lot of people do is they'll say, I want a man 6 foot tall with a full head of hair, and he must earn $100,000 a year, and he must be good with children, and he must want children, and he must, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And you've just eliminated 98% of the population. So what we do is we decide there's this fairy tale out there. There's this one man. But if you look from the place of what energy would I like in the relationship, then you're looking for somebody who can actually contribute to your life, not somebody who you've decided is your dream catch.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to complete you.
Somebody right. who will, my one,
yeah,
will complete
it doesn't,
me.
It doesn't work like that. So, I was terrible. Every man that I had in my life, you know, either judged me or my body. Like, that was what I went for. And a lot of people I find do that because it matches the judgments they have of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a judgment of you and then someone walks along and you're like, you know, ping, that person judges me for exactly the same thing. See, we're a match. Rather than I started to ask with Gary Douglas's help for someone who was kind, caring and nurturing to show up. And that's when Brendan did show up. So it wasn't about the finances. It wasn't about, you know, I mean, he was, he still is 11 years younger than me. Had a kid.
I'm not catching up.
No, he's not catching up. had a kid, which I was like, I didn't ask for a child in my life. And I remember at one stage he went, well, I sort of come with a 5-year-old. And I was like, you know, and a dog and all of this. So it's like if you ask for the energy to show up and not don't have this list of what you've decided it is, and also I really want to reiterate don't look for somebody who's going to look after you or who is going to complete you, because you are a whole being. And it's like, if you can have all of you, and then that is a much greater invitation for someone to show up who you end up creating with, that you're not relying on. You're actually contributing to each other in a really different way.
That's such a great point about who someone you can really create with. Because relationships are a co-creative process. It isn't one completing the other. It's definitely a co-creative process. And it's not always perfect. Of course, it requires work, which is why you're talking about this. But in the long run, when you discovered, the two of you discovered that it just wasn't working, what was the breaking point? Or was there a decision? Because a lot of people are in this place and they'd like to learn to do it differently if you're going to uncouple.
We got to a point in our relationship where we've gone from creating the relationship on a daily basis to we'd come to a point where we started maintaining it. So we started going, okay, we're in relationship. We've got the perfect relationship. We've got our relationship right. And it just started lulling out and wasn't this creative capacity that we had together before. So that's when we went, okay, there's a time for something different.
And I'm going to say too, we have investments together and we have a lot of, you know, things like that we've created together. And we bought this one block of land right on the beach, and we were building, you know, this beautiful epic house. It would have been amazing. And to me, that was one of the downfalls, that we started creating our relationship as normal. And if anyone knows Brandon and myself, we don't really do normal very well. I mean, we travel around the world 10 months of the year, you know, doing seminars, etc. So when we started to create this like normal, average, real relationship, as Brandon said, that's when the creation came out of it. And it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. Like, Brandon was the one who, you know, started the breakup of the relationship. And at first, like every other person I know, I was like in shock and in tears, etc. But when I got over that and got over being a girl, I actually looked at it, and we were talking about it the other day, and I said, you know what, I knew that the relationship was over, you know, at this point. And he said, yeah, if I'm honest, I knew too. But the thing is, we both still really like each other. And it's such a shame when I see people get together and then when the relationship is over, then they find a reason to hate each other. We don't hate each other. We actually like each other. We still create together. And yes, there was definitely some rocky moments and some confronting times. And one of the things that we did was we made a demand of a few different things. And one of them, the first thing on both of our list was, let's work on our friendship. Like, let's continue to create a friendship, because that was important to both of us. So it doesn't, relationship breakup doesn't have to be this trauma and drama. It doesn't have to be the new telenovela. It can actually be a lot smoother than that if you choose it.
Well, that's also healthier if there's kids involved too, because they don't necessarily have the relationship EQ that you have, and they're looking for stability. And it's good when there is still fun, stable times happening in a family environment. And so let me ask you a question though. What's wrong with maintaining a relationship? What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with the maintaining the relationship, but most people, when they get into that maintaining the relationship, within 12 months, 2 years, they start getting extremely bored with each other, because that creative spark that started the relationship starts to die away. It goes from that creative spark of who are we today, what can we create today, what can we be greater with today, to, okay, we've made it this far, let's just keep on making it this far. It kind of gets a little boring, and then, I don't know about you, but and most people, when they get bored, they want to destroy. So then they go into, I'm bored now, I want to destroy this.
Well, I'm going to take it even to, like, if you look at, you know, a household, and what if you mixed it up? Like, again, you know, we mentioned about, you know, asking questions, and questions always empower, and questions will always create something more. So how many times in a household it's like, you know, the man takes out the rubbish, you know, or the man cooks or the woman cooks, or there's this routine. And there's nothing wrong with routine. But what I ask is, if you are in this routine, what I see is so many people start to get annoyed with their partner, or when they do and don't do something, they have these expectations and projections rather than, as Brendan said, what if you woke up every day and asked, who am I today? And what grand and glorious, you know, adventures can we have? And what can we create today? And mix it up. Like, what if you always put the spice into the relationship? So what we like to call it is creationship. What if there was no relationship? I mean, relationship, literally, the meaning of the word means the distance between two things. So do you want to create a distance between someone, or do you want to create a creationship that is a constant place of question and a constant state of creation?
Constantly moving. You know, I love that. My parents, actually, you can still do this within a long-term relationship. My parents were married 57 years. My father recently passed.
Wow.
And they, you know, for most of it, I looked at it and said, my God, why are these people together? But in the long run, they really had such a creative flow because both of my parents were very creative people. And one was always supporting the other on their venture and then vice versa. And it was a co-creation and it lasted 57 years. And it's hard because my mom dared to love that deeply. And the hard part about that is that when the partner leaves, you are left with a very deep, deep hole. And so what I'm asking here in this story, in this long-winded story I'm telling you, is that being in a long-term committed relationship, devil's advocate here, can be challenging, yet it can also be very creative. And you have to dare to really love that deeply. Can you love that deeply if you're not in a long-term relationship?
Yeah, I think you can. Because the thing that I see, too, is people say that the, you know, definition of a good relationship is the longevity of it. It's not. I mean, you mentioned before short-term relationship, long-term relationship. You know, Brendan and I were in a relationship for 8 years, and so far, I have never loved anyone as much as I love Brendan.
Awesome.
And it's like I've never been so vulnerable and so trusting of someone, etc. But just because the relationship broke up, it didn't mean that I was less than and I should not have given all of me. Like, and it wasn't given all of me away. It was like totally, like utterly vulnerable. He knew me like nobody else knew me. And so I absolutely cared for him, adored him, all of that. And and I still do. And I'm grateful now that we are not in a relationship and we're creating on a different space. It's like, and we are different. I'm going to say, Lisa, like Brendan and I both, you know, we're not looking to, you know, have the house and the kid and the dog and which we had. We're looking to change the world. We're looking to empower, you know, people around the world to know that there's a different possibility. I mean, that's why the classes we do is called Relationship Done Different. And different literally means possibility. So, yeah, please don't hold yourself back. If you meet someone who you just have so much fun with, jump all in. Why not?
Yeah.
It's like, what if you were 80 years old and you went, damn, I should have done that. It's like, you know, life is an adventure.
Right.
And sometimes
right.
there's some really, really crunchy moments. And you'll get through them. You always do.
But no regrets. No, I love it. I love it. That's a great answer,
no,
Simone.
No regrets.
Very evolved answer. I love it. So we have this fun drive going on here at the radio station. I'm going to mention to people really quickly, if you like what you are hearing, and if this is appealing to you in such an amazing way, there is an event that both Brendan and Simone are doing here in Los Angeles, and it is available. The event tickets are available for our fun drive. And I want to tell you, we have 10 tickets available. I would highly suggest you jump on this because it's a different way to do relationships. The course is called, the workshop, it's Relationship Done Different. And it comes with the book, which is Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? And I love that. You get both of these for a $150 pledge. You both have been so gracious to donate this to the station, 10 tickets to the station for our fun drive. So my beautiful Aware family, please call now, 818-985-KPFK. And if you're in a relationship, if you're not in a relationship, if you're looking about uncoupling consciously in a relationship, whatever it is, I guarantee you will look at it differently and neutrally, and it will take the expectations and projections out of what you are previously conceiving or looking at a relationship as. So 10 tickets. You get the book as well, and you'll get the book at the event. So the number 818-985-KPFK. So please call us right now. The event's in Hollywood. You'll get all the information, and it's May 14th from 7 to 9 p.m., and it's a, it's an evening, so you can still have your work day. All right, so back to these fantastic ideas of getting out of judgment. And by the way, you know, I Dane and Gary are just amazing people. They're, Dane here is a dear, dear friend of mine and really helped me with the passing of my father. He was absolutely 1,000% instrumental in that process with me. So I want to give him just all of my love. And so in this whole, and I've seen him, you know, just constantly create these, this, this incredible life of questioning and changing and questioning and changing. And so in that place, if you are in a relationship, what type of questions can you start to ask yourself to bring that state of curiosity back in, or that creation back into a relationship? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you, Brendan. You go ahead. Sorry about that.
If you start with what we did every day was we looked at it and went, okay, we have a new relationship today. So we started going, okay, what could I be or do different in this relationship today? So that we started creating it every day. So we'd get up in the morning and go, okay, here's our relationship. How do we want to create it today? Not how was it yesterday? Because a lot of us look at, okay, that was, we had this fight yesterday. How do we make up for it today? What if that fight yesterday no longer existed? And you went, okay, who are we today and where can we create from that? So if people start with that place and they start getting where they can be new every day. And we did this throughout our relationship so that we could keep it in that place of fun.
Yes.
And we also made it a choice. Like one of the things, you know, it's like, does this work for me today? Sort of thing. Like, is this relationship working? Because there's been many things that have occurred. Like, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, I was the main breadwinner for a long time and I was, you know, supporting Brendan financially and, you know, and Nash, you know, our child and the dog and everything. And I'm talking trips to Costa Rica and everything. So, but everyone was like, wow, why are you spending so much money on him? And I was like, it's a contribution. So if you look at it, is this a contribution? And if not, what have you got to change? So, and one of the tools of access too is to, if you, and I know, but we've got a friends of ours who, she was coming along to Access Consciousness classes and her husband wasn't. And it was their 40th wedding anniversary. And she came home and he said, what do you want for your wedding anniversary? And she said, I want to destroy and uncreate our relationship.
Mm.
And he said, you want a divorce? And she said, no, I want to destroy and uncreate it. So one of the tools we have is when you destroy and uncreate your relationship and everything that it was, like everything that it was yesterday, and we have the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement, and then you run that. Everything at that is times a godzillion, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all names, shorts, boys and beyond. And then you start anew. Because if you function from what was, then you will never allow something different to show up. So, again, it's so much about being in question. And it's like, what would be fun? How can I contribute to them today? How can they contribute to me today? And, this, God, there's so many tools, too, especially being a woman. It's like, you know, allowing a man also to have space, because I see so many men who require to have some space and then women are like, what's up? What can I do? What can, you know, and try and cuddle with them or try and fix them or something. It's like they don't require that. They require space. So for a woman, it's like, don't take that personally. It's like, okay, cool. He requires space right now. And it's like, go about and create what you create. Mm-hmm. Don't always rely on the other person for your joy. You should be able to bring yourself joy too.
That's hugely important, and that's great to be able to destroy and uncreate every single time that you need to do that. Now, let's talk about, well, I'm going to go back to that for a second. The what if, as you explained, the other partner didn't want to do that? What if they were okay with things being the same and having the relationship be, quote, comfortable? What if they were okay with that? And one person wanted a dynamic to destroy and uncreate everything every day. Do you know what they would do in that situation or how someone would gently bring someone along in that process of creationship? I love that term, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like, I mean, there's a story that I think we've got in our book. It's like, you know, at one stage, I wake up really alive. Like I wake up creating and happy. Like that's how I've always done it. I'm a morning person. And at one stage when Brendan was going through, you know, a bunch of stuff and he was sort of trying to discover what it was he wanted to do with his life, you know, I'd wake up really creative and happy and, you know, bouncing around the house. And Brendan was, you know, spent like 3 days at one time on the couch just being depressed and sad. But I wasn't buying into that. It was like, okay, that's his choice to choose that. And, you know, do you need something? Nope. Okay, good. And I would just go about my day. And I remember on day three, he looked at me and he said, will you stop being so happy?
I actually know someone exactly like that. Yes, a couple that's going through that right now. Yeah. And what did you do?
And then I looked at him and I said, no. And he looked at me and he said, do you know how hard it is to be unhappy when you live with someone who's happy? And we started laughing because it was like, really? It's like taking that much work to be unhappy? So, but you have to allow the other person to choose. Just because you're choosing something doesn't mean the other person has to. Like, you don't have to sit there in the morning over coffee saying, let's destroy and uncreate our relationship.
Yeah.
You can do it yourself. You know, in the shower, it's like, okay, everything that I decided this relationship was yesterday, destroy and uncreate it.
Uh-huh. Well, and also that the allowance that Simone had for me gave me the space where I could actually choose to be happy. Because if she would have said, get happy now, why aren't you happy? Then that, just that alone would have made me resist it more and be more unhappy just to fight that resistance. But her going, okay, if you want to be unhappy, go for it. Be unhappy as long as you want.
Sure.
It gave me the space to actually to get through it for myself and actually change the place where I was choosing to be that depressed and unhappy.
Yes, and you know, circumstances. My friend's example, yes, he had recently, you know, he lost a parent who passed. He doesn't like his job. He's unhappy in his body. And there's so many things. And his wife is this fresh start, bubbly every day, wakes up with tons of serotonin probably, and has, and it definitely annoys him. And if they could take these, and if he could look at that and say, okay, I'm going to destroy and uncreate myself every single day, maybe he can get there on his own. Not that he has to be as bubbly and as happy and the champagne personality, but he could definitely get to out of the stuckness and into a place where he is happier in his body, in his relationship, in his life, in his job. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
And one of the things, Lisa, I would like to point out, which is not something that everybody wants to have a look at, is some people like being unhappy. Like my mother, for years and years and years, I tried to make her happy. I would, you know, try and talk to her about different things, show her different things. My father was, you know, an amazing, kind, caring man, and my mother was not so much. And when I realized that she actually loves being unhappy, she's happy being unhappy. So not everyone wants to choose it. You've got to get that happiness is just a choice as well. And one of the things that we used to do as well is when one of us got angry, and, you know, to this day, we've never actually had a fight, which people find very strange, but we never found it necessary to fight. But when one of us got angry, it'd be like, oh, you're enjoying that? You know, it's like, and yeah, it's like, if you're going to get angry, enjoy it. If you're going to get unhappy, enjoy it. Have a good time with that. Whatever you choose, enjoy it.
Nice. Nice. Well, I want to mention again, we are in our fun drive and there are only 10 tickets. And I think, I don't know how many we have left. We will find out. But we are asking for a $150 donation to the station. So you're supporting public radio. You are supporting this free speech venue that we have here in Los Angeles. And just because we are a public station doesn't mean that you don't listen. I mean, you get this commercial-free venue every single day with news and opinions and music and health and spirituality and this eclectic combination of shows on KPFK. And the way that we do that and are able to deliver that all day without commercials every day is through these fun drives. We have 10 pairs of these tickets to give away to this really cool event. It's an evening workshop, and it is called Relationship Done Different. It doesn't matter if you're single or married or uncoupled or whatever it is. It's a different perspective on creationship instead of relationship. Also, for the $150 donation, you will get a copy of the book, Are You Sure You Want One? And actually, that's going to be mailed to you. So you just need to give the volunteers in the phone room your physical address so that that can get mailed to you. This is a $325 value. It is a $150 donation, so it is a discount. And the event is May 14th from 7 to 9 p.m. in Hollywood, and you have every reason to go. So give us a call right now, 818-985-KPFK. There are only 10 of these, and I'm sure I've seen the volunteers in the phone room, and they're answering calls right now. So give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Really, if you are looking for a relationship done different. Now, I have to ask you both, Brennan and Simone, what about this hookup culture, our swipe left, swipe right type of culture? How does what you talk about, how does that apply to that? No judgment.
Well,
just
I mean, the hookup culture, I mean, people are, you know, it's that place of people, you know, people are looking for something. So the hookup culture is, we've kind of gone from the place where you go out and try and romance somebody into the new age of dating is, let's get an app and let's swipe left or swipe right in order to find what it is we're looking for. But you've got to, what I would start with, because most people, when they go into, even if it's just sex, they'll go into it with, this person wants me, so therefore it's going to be great. But you've got to start with a question. And the first one I would start with is, will this be fun? Start
okay.
with that question. If you get a no, don't go there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next one would be, will I learn anything from this? If you get a no, don't go there. The next one would be, will I be happier afterwards? If you get a no, don't go there. But you've got to start questioning before you go there, because most of us get on this, and especially when it comes to things like sex, we get on this automatic pilot of must have. This is going to be great. And then the next morning you go, oh, I feel like I've been hit by a truck. What just happened? Well, you didn't question. So you've got to start with those questions of, will it be fun? Will it be easy? Will I learn something? And will I be happier afterwards? If you get a yes on those, go for it. Enjoy yourself.
That's a good way of looking at it. And again, no judgment on that. It's just a way of exploring and experimenting. And it's very popular these days. One would think, though, let me ask you about relationships for younger people, for like your mm-hmm. teens and 20s. How could their beginning relationships be shaped by what you're talking about? Simone?
Well, it's a sort of the same tools as well, you know, that you use no matter what age you are. And it's not looking for, so many people, like as Brennan was just saying, you ask the questions of, you know, will this be fun, et cetera. But there was nothing in the questions that Brennan gave out that was like, you know, are they taller than me? You know, are they blonde? Do they look like this? And in this society, in this reality, so many people make it about what somebody looks like. If you didn't make it about what they look like and you actually ask questions about who this person is, different reality. I mean, if you look at, you know, at school, I remember, you know, dating at school, et cetera, and when I just left school, and it was so much about like, oh, her boyfriend is cute or she's cute or this is whatever. And it's like, yes, they can still be cute and be grateful for that. And if you made it about, would this person be a contribution to me? And you still look at that. And do you know what, Lisa? I'm going to say, I see a lot of younger people that seem a little bit smarter than what I was with my friends when I was that same age. I don't know if it's because they have more stuff out there on, you know, the technology and stuff, and you get exposed to more things, but they seem to be willing to ask a few more questions is the ones that I know anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. I mean, that's more power to them. Absolutely. What are some of the biggest mistakes that people make in relationships, specifically women?
I better answer that one or Brennan will get in trouble. No.
Okay, go for it, Simone.
Well, what I would say is don't rely on the other person. Because women, I don't know where that came from many, many years ago. I mean, if you look at the history of marriage, it was originally to create wealth. You know, it was originally about, you know, obtaining land and things like that. And then has so many definitions over the years, and it's been projected at women that it's like, now that you have a man, the man will look after you. It's like, that's not, like, if you look at all the relationships, that's not how it works. It should be about two people contributing to each other. So if women stop looking at men to own one, and I know that sounds horrible, but a lot of women I see don't even like men. They actually just want to own a man and control him and also try and change him. Like, don't go into a relationship trying to change the other person. What if you were grateful for everything that they are that day and allow them to choose? I mean, it's like Brendan was saying, if he decided to be on the couch and be depressed for, you know, months on end, then I may not have chosen the relationship. But he was choosing a few days, and it was just like, okay, whatever, you know, if he finds that fun for him and it's amusing. So don't try and control it. Don't try and change the other person. Mm. Like, you know, we say, if you want to train someone, get a puppy.
That's a good point. That's a great point. By the way, if anyone wants to find out more information about this course, if you go to brendonwatt.com, BrendonWatt.com, you'll see an icon there that says Relationships Done Different. And there is information about the May 14th event. If you want to read a little bit more about it and access consciousness and so forth, you can also look at Simone and Brendan have a little video there too, which is really great. You'll be able to see them talk about it. And it's about choice in this whole conversation about creation in a relationship. And so if you want to get tickets and donate to the radio station, you can call us right now. You'll get tickets and the book, The Relationships Done Different Workshop, and Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? Book. And the phone number here, 818-985-KPFK. It's a $150 donation to the radio station. We only have 10 of these available. I'm sure several have gone. And also, if you will get the book, you might give the volunteer in the phone room your physical address so that that can get sent to you, which is fantastic. And you'll have a chance to really, you know, dive into this class and learn a little bit more about how you show up in relationship. And it doesn't matter if you're single or in a long-term relationship or in a new relationship field after uncoupling, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's really interesting that the same rules apply to all of it. And it's all about creating newly every day. It's all about destroying what was and what wasn't working. And creationship, which is really cool. So let me see five people who have really challenged themselves. I have a friend who I've known for 20 years now, never been able to find the right relationship. Maybe it's time to look at something different in a different way. And if you've always had that story of, I can't find the right relationship, this might just be the right place for you to start asking different questions. It's access consciousness is all about the quality of the questions that you're asking, even if you're any question that you're asking. So call us now, 818-985-KPFK. What is the evening going to be like? I'll ask you, Brendan.
Well, it's going to be different. I mean, and like we've talked about here, it's like, because what people do is they do look for the right relationship. But they, like we talked about before, they put so many ideas on that right relationship and then wonder why 5, 10, 15 years down the track, they still haven't found it. Is there somebody who can fulfill those needs for them, or are they the only person who can fulfill their needs themselves? And it's not the most comfortable topic for some people, but it's going to be debunking the whole idea of what a relationship should be into what it could be for you. Like, what if a relationship could actually add to your life, not be this, oh, I'm still in relationship? Because one of the things we've learned over the years is 90% of people would rather have a bad relationship than no relationship at all. And we're taught this as kids. We're taught this as kids that, you know, you need to grow up, you need to get in a relationship, you need to get married. And it's like our life gets mapped out in front of us by not based on what we desire to choose, but based on what other people think we should have. And a lot of us have created our lives that way and have never actually looked at what's true for me. So we're going to be going into a lot of different things. It's going to depend a lot on what people in the room want to talk about also, but I have a little few tricks up my sleeve.
I mean, it's interesting that we're the only species, with the exception of two animal species, that mate for life, that we're supposed, well, allegedly mate for life. And I think that was created by a certain religion, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was created by people who decided that that was the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of us live our lives based on this idea of how do I find the answer? How do I get my life right? Not what do I choose? If I was choosing anything, then I could start figuring out what was true for me, not what I've been told I need to be.
I mean, and what if the purpose of life was to have fun? Like, what if it was a great adventure? I mean, by the time I met Brendan, I was in my early 40s, and I had an amazing life. Then I had this great relationship with Brendan, and now it's like my life is not over. It's like, what else is possible? It's like, what if your life was about, you know, living the adventure rather than going, oh, I found the person, the one that doesn't exist, and then you put up with something. Please never put up with something. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say one of the first classes I ever did with Access Consciousness was with Gary Douglas in Sydney, Australia, and it was on relationships. And it was about 17 years ago, and I walked out of there going, oh, it was the first time in my life that I didn't feel wrong for not wanting to have a relationship, because this reality projects at you that you are wrong if you're not in a relationship. And I can say your friend that hasn't chosen a relationship for 25 years, she probably doesn't really want one. And if she does, then what does that look like? Is it never living with someone? Is it having someone you see once a month? Like, what if you could stipulate what it looks like for you?
That's a great point. She's got a great life, teaches yoga, has a great job. She's fine. She thinks that all she wants is a relationship, but I don't think she's ever considered that maybe she doesn't. That's a really good point.
That's not considered appropriate.
Well, one of the questions we talk about in this book is this mine? Because a lot of us will pick up on everything. You know, if we're with a group of friends who are all in relationship and think that we should be in a relationship, and then we're thinking in our head, I should be in a relationship. I should be in a relationship. You look at, okay, is this actually mine? Mm. Because most of us will pick up on these thoughts from other people and then go, must do, not, what if this wasn't my thought? So this would be a tool that I would offer to people, would be start asking, okay, who does this belong to?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is this actually mine?
Mm-hmm.
So you can start getting clear on, and if you get a no on that, okay, so what's true for me here?
That's a great point.
That's a great question.
Yes, who does this belong to? And also, here's another great, I mean, this is for all switched on, turned on individuals that just really want to improve the quality of their life by recreating it every day, to ask yourself this question, and this is a great Access question, is how does it get any better than this? Not does it get any better than this? And you look, it, usually people say it doesn't get any better than this. Dana always said to me, well, maybe it could. And what would that next level be? Yeah. When you think that you're in euphoria and everything is great, wait, there's more.
There's always more.
I love that. It's living in the land of possibilities. I wanted to mention that these are pairs of tickets, by the way. Once you call and donate $150 to the station, you will get two tickets. These are pairs. They're not individual tickets. So bring your significant other. Bring your friend. Bring someone who thinks that they might be challenged in relationship right now. Anyone. And the number is 818-985-KPFK. The event is May 14th. It's in the evening, 7 to 9 p.m. Relationships Done Different is the name of the event. It's in Hollywood. And it's a $150 donation. And then you give the physical mailing address for the book to be sent to you. 818-985-KPFK. It's 10 pairs of tickets that we had to give away. And now we're down to half of that. So I know that these are going to go. People are really interested in this because relationship is definitely always on people's minds. Every time I do live shows and the callers that we get in, they're questioning about relationships. It is something that definitely requires, well, I say it requires work, but you've reframed it for me a little bit. It's something that requires constant creation and getting rid of expectations and projections, not making anybody wrong, and getting rid of judgments, and finding out what you can do to recreate. Even if you're uncoupling, how could that get any better? How could that process be conscious and smoother, especially when there's family involved? So please, I'm putting you guys right now here on this. Get on the phone, pull over if you're driving, and give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. And it is a $150 donation to the station. However, it is a huge level of investment in yourself. It's looking at things different. This book, you will be able to, I mean, trust me, you will highlight, reread, go over again and again, forget you ever read it, look back and read it brand new a few weeks later, because you're going to change by asking yourself, different questions and being able to listen to some of those answers. And so a big question that people, you know, back to my friend, is it wrong to be single? Simone, I will ask you that question. Is that wrong?
No, no, no. I've chosen most of my life to be single. I've had, you know, what you would call short-term relationships. I was very good at like 3-month relationships. But then I was like, I'm done. But I never also had a place that I needed somebody else to fulfill me. And can I tell you, that was a really different point of view. It's like I was willing to, you know, function from that point of view. And so many people would look at me like I was crazy or I was missing out on something. Whereas I've traveled the world so many times and I've had different businesses, which for me, I love business. And I've been incredibly creative. And I've had a blast with Brendan. And what we created together was amazing. And we are still in, we are in another level of creating something now. And no, I don't think it's wrong to be single at all. And you know what, you've got to take, if you look at sex, it's like you might like to have sex, but you might not like to be in a relationship. Okay, so can you find someone that you'd like to have sex with? Or a couple of people? And I know that that's not, you're not meant to say that, but what if that was true for you? You know, what is, like Brendan said before, what's true for you? Ask that question. It's not wrong to be single at all. I see so many people who are single and having way more fun than being in a relationship, and some people in a relationship that have way more fun than being single. It's just a choice, and it should always be a choice, not a necessity.
And most of the people that project at the single people that you should have a relationship are actually the people thinking, geez, I wish I wasn't in a relationship. I wish I was you. I wish I was single. I wish I had my freedom. I wish I wasn't stuck with this person and 3 children and these in this with this mortgage and all of this stuff. I wish I had my single life back. You should get a relationship so you're as miserable as I am, so that I have a friend who I can complain with.
You know, I actually, my beautician the other day was telling me about her parents, and you know, they had a few kids, they had a business, they had all of this, and she said it was many years later, like 35 years later or something, her parents were in Canada, and they saw a backpacker, and her dad looked at her mum and said, God, I wish I could just be like that and I could just roam the world. And her mum had sort of, you know, she still loved her dad and everything, but she recognized the energy of that and recognized how much her husband really wanted to do that for so many years. She felt trapped in the relationship, and she said to him, you know what, you need to go do that. Go and do it. And he is. He's still, that's like 8 years ago, and he's still like roaming the world and traveling around the world and having a great time. And to me, if you're actually willing to let someone go because they actually desire to do something different rather than hold on to someone and make them miserable, it's like, which one sounds like more fun for you? Like, why would you not let someone do what it is that they desire to choose?
Yeah. And even if you're in a relationship, we're not basically saying that you need to get a divorce. It's always a wonderful way to take care of yourself by learning something new in the relationship. You know, what Simone was saying earlier, you don't rely on the other person to make you complete. You have two complete people that come together in a relationship. It's so much more powerful, and it's more fun. It's a lot more fun. It's interesting. Absolutely interesting. That's kind of the way that my husband and I are. People kind of don't understand, but we have our own individual worlds, and we have great, full, complete worlds. And when we come together, it's fun. It's interesting. So what have you done, and what is your day like, and what have you? And then I need help with stuff, and I ask for help, and I say, this is what I need help with. And it took me a lot to get there, though. And I looked at the burden as my own, and I'm learning that one. I'm just learning now to really ask for help. That's a big one for me.
It is, but it works, because most of us, we have this idea that if we expect something from our partners,
right,
then they'll do it. And then when they don't do it, we create this separation between us and them because they didn't fulfill our expectation, but we didn't say it.
So we expect them to read our minds. Absolutely.
For a lot of, I'm gonna go out on a whim here and say, for a lot of women, you expect men to read your mind, and they just cannot.
Oh yeah, and this is with everything. Yeah. I mean, that this is, women would say, well, how could he not know that? He would have to be blind and deaf to not know.
I'll give you a tip, because we're not the brightest crayons in the box.
Oh really?
And men don't speak subtext.
Right.
Yeah.
Women speak subtext. Men don't speak subtext.
Right. Even when this comes
to
birthdays, how did he not know this is what I wanted? And yeah, it's we're constantly expecting men to read our minds. And whether I'm just saying, hey, honey, I would like one of these five things. And line it out. Then you get what you want and you're happy.
Yeah. And so, then the man's happy too because he goes, okay, now I know what you need. Now I can fulfill that need.
So I'm going to say, Brendan, what was the first gift you ever brought me?
Oh, yeah. Do I have to say it on radio?
Yeah.
So the first gift I ever bought Simone, and I wasn't thinking about it or whatever, but I bought her a barbecue. And I thought, she'll love this because then she can cook outside and, you know, and it'll be wonderful. So I was really excited because it was the top of the line barbecue, you know, so I was really excited to give it to her on a Christmas day. And the look on her face was like,
how do I put this on my finger?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, men, if you're listening out there, let me give you a hint. Jewelry and lingerie is always a good way to go.
Yes, yes. Those are something we will always use. And, you know, maybe good times were had around the barbecue, but you can get the barbecue and jewelry and lingerie. That works.
Exactly.
Jewelry, lingerie, and whatever else it is that you want to get. That works.
Exactly.
Well, this class sounds like fun. It sounds like something that you're going to have a lot of fun doing, looking at things in a different way. And we always say, if you want to create a different result, you've got to try something different. And that's why I would call here 818-985-KPFK. Support yourself and support your relationship. And go to this workshop. It is May 14th. It's 2 hours. And it will change the way you look at everything. The phone number to call, 818-985-KPFK. And the volunteer in the phone room, you can give them your physical address so that you can get the book mailed to you. The book is Relationship. Are you sure you want one? And the course is called Relationships Done Different. And the phone number to call, 818-985-KPFK. And if you'd like to go to BrendanWatt.com, Brendan with an E, Watt.com, you can see on there's a little icon for Relationships Done Different and the May 14th event, too, if you want to learn more about that and Access Consciousness. And I thank you all so much for calling in, changing your life, changing relationships. And thank you so much to Brendan and Simone. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Lisa.
Awesome. In synchronicity. I love it. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Gina Salvati, executive producer of The Aware Show, Joyce Walker, producer, all of our wonderful listeners of KPFK, Your Energy Makes This Show Happen, and our engineers, and of course, our volunteers in the phone room. Thank you all so much. I'm Lisa Garr. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.